Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and we are now in the ninth parak of Masachet Sotah. We are at the fifth Mishnah of the parak, which appears on Daf Mem Hei Amud Bet. And in that Mishnah, we pick up the ceremony of the Egla Arufa, the point where we left off, which is after the Ziknei Yerushalayim had come out and measured to see which was the closest city. And now, Niftaru Ziknei Yerushalayim v'chulahen, so the elders of the Beitin, Gadol and Yerushalayim left, and v'chulahen Ziknei Otah Ha'ir Mevi'in, Eglat Bakar Asher Lo Mashcha Ba'ol, quote from the Pasuk, so the elders of the local city that was measured to be the closest, bring a calf that has never pulled a yoke. That's the exact wording. Ve'namun poselba. Parenthetically, a blemish does not invalidate it. So if this calf has a wart or whatever it may be, it's still valid. Moridino tala nachal eitan, veitan kemashmao kasha. They take it to what the pasuk says, nachal eitan. And nachal eitan, which means a ravine which is literally strong, say eitan kemashmao meaning kasha. It's hard land, meaning something that's not arable. Alpha pisha eino eitan kasher. But if it's a ravine, even if it's not eitan, then it is acceptable. V'orfino tabe kofitz me'achoreha. They break its neck using a cleaver from the back. U'mekoma asur me'lizroa me'lavod. The place where they did this, the exact location, is an area that you are never allowed to plant or to work the land. U'mutar lisrok sham pishtamit. You're allowed to sit there and comb out flax on a kershem avanim and to sharpen up rocks. You're allowed to do other work on the location that is not land work. That's Mishnah Hey. The Gemara includes also Mishnah Vav, which is Ziknei Otahair Rochatzin Etidehan B'mayim B'makom Arifa Shel Egla. They wash their hands with water right over the place where the Egla was had its neck broken. And they say the phrase Yadeinu Shafchut Adam Hazeh V'Einu Lo Ra'u. We didn't spill this blood. We didn't see. And then the Mishnah comments on that phrase, very strange phrase for the Beit Din to say, V'Chial Dateinu Altash Ziknei Beit Din Shafchei Damim Hein. Do we think that the Beit Din are murderers? Ela Shelo. What does it mean when they say we didn't kill him? He didn't come to us for us to leave him without food. And we did not see him such that we left him without an escort. Meaning, either we didn't see him, or if we did see him, we fed him properly, and we escorted him properly out of the city. And then, after the Zekanim say that, HaKohanim Omrim Kaper L'mcha Yisrael, Ashabadita V'Altetem Danaki V'Kar L'mcha Yisrael. That's near the end of the Pasuk, the end near the end of the Parsha. Forgive, Am Yisrael, that you have redeemed, and don't have this spilled blood effect on Yisrael. Now, lo yutzuchim lomar v'nikaper lahem adam. The last three words of the Pasuk, v'nikaper lahem adam, that the dam is now atoned for, is not what they say. That is Hashem announcing to them, or giving them the glad tidings, ematayish tasukacha hadam itkaper lahem. When you do the following ceremony, then, indeed, the blood is atoned for. Okay, so the first issue which shows up in Mishnah Hay that we're going to deal with is that there is no problem of a blemish on the Egla Rufa. If it's blemished, it's fine. Avieh mum posel be'egla mikal v'chomer, but it should be problematic as a kal v'chomer from the para aduma. Uma para she'ena shenim poslot ba. The para aduma can be as old as we want it to be. Mum poselba, and nonetheless, a blemish affects it. If it's a blemish, if it's a blemished animal, it's invalid. Egla sheshanim poslotba, an egla has to be a yearling. If it's too old, then it's invalid. So eno din she mum poselba, so certainly a blemish should invalidate it. The answer is shani hatam damar kra asher in bah mum. Relative to the paraduma, it says, in the context of the paraduma, it says, asher ein ba mum. It has no mum. Ba mum posel vein mum posel ba egla. It's only in the case of the para, and not in the case of the egla, that a mum is posel. Now that's a little bit of a strange limud, so I just want to clarify that the egla rufa and the paraduma, which we're going to see in this whole sugya, are often compared, have the following in common, that they are a korban which is not a korban, meaning they're an animal which is killed in a particular way as part of a purification ceremony, but it's done outside of the mikdash, and it also, by the way, has to do with purification from contact with death in a manner. So the egla and the para are somewhat compared. So when the text says asher ein ba mum, that the para duma itself has no mum, it's there to say it is affected by mum, but not its sister, as it were, which is the egla. So ela miata lo yushar vodot poslot ba. If that's the case, then no doing any kind of work should not invalidate the egla. Alright, so why did Rav say, hiniach aleha oda shel sakin, if he put a bundle of sackcloth on the back of the paraduma psula? The minute he puts it on the back, it's pasul, uv egla tshimshoch. The minute an egla starts schlepping it, not when you put it on its back, but the minute it starts trudging with it, then it is also invalidated. Why is the egla invalidated by work? The answer is shani paradi alfin and all mi egla. Actually, the invalidity of the para, when the minute you put it on its back, comes from the fact that it says acher lo ala aleha ol, that no yoke went on its back, and we learn from ol in the egla shelo mashcha ba'ol, it didn't carry a yoke, and so therefore we apply that backwards and say any sort of thing that you put on the back, not just a yoke, will invalidate the para. So eglan nami tete ol ol mi para, but if that's the case, then we should have that same kal v'chomer and say an egla should also be invalid the minute you put it on its back. So the hamid rachman abba, again the same thing. The Torah said asher lo Allah aleha ol asher lo asher in bat mum. So beglan nami ktiv ba. Then the pasuk about the egla also says the word ba. So ahumi ba yalevim ute kodshim lo pasul bu avodah. There it says asher lo mashcha ba'ol, meaning that it's only with the egla arufa that there's a consideration that if it did any work, it's invalidated, but not what? Not kodshim, not korbanot. I would have thought to reason via kal v'chomer from an egla. Ma egla she'in mum posel ba, an egla can be blemished and it's okay, avodah posel et ba, but nonetheless, if you do work with it, it's invalidated, mashcha ba'ol. Kodshim shemum poselet bahen. So kodshim, where there is a problem of a blemish, blinded eye, broken lip, whatever it may be, ein odin shavodah poselet bahen. Certainly, if you do work with it, it's pasul. Therefore, the text has to say ba, to say that avodah is only an invalidating feature of the egla and not of kodshim. So the ikal mifrach, we can then take that and turn it around and ask as follows: mala egla sheken shani poselot ba. An egla is unique in that it is has to be a yearling, unlike kodshim. So you don't have a kal v'chomer. To kodshim yileka, the pasul bashanim. Aren't there some kodshim where it does have to be particular? Most kodshim do have to be a yearling, or a ram has to be 2 years. So for those kodshim where the particular year, a korban pesach has to be a yearling, where the year does make a difference, therefore I would have thought to reason via kal v'chomer that avodah is posel. Therefore I need the pasuk to tell me avodah is only in an invalidating feature of egla, not of kodshim. Kodshim lo pasul b'avodah mihacha nafka, but did you really learn from our pasuk that kodshim are not invalidated by avodah? Mehatam nafka, we learned that from a whole different place, the parsha of mumim. Averto shavur charutza yabelto garavu yalefet, all the different mumim of an animal. Lo takrivu eile aladunai, these you may not bring. Eile atamakriv alatamakriv kodshim shenev daban avodah. These are things you may not bring, but you may bring kodshim where they're physically unchanged, but they have been used for work. So we see that there's already another source that tells us that kodshim that were used for work are not invalidated. Therefore, the reference to ba in the egla rufa is not there for that. It must be there to connect it to the parat. So the answer is itzarich zakadai tachamena. I might have made the mistake of thinking hanemila hecha do'avad behen avodat heter, that maybe it only applies when the work done was permissible work, like working during the week or working without connecting it to another animal of a different kind, etc. Aval avodati sur. How would I know that if I took an animal that was going to be hektesh and I linked it with another wrong animal, or I worked it in the kilayim or whatever sort of thing, emolitzeru, maybe the animal is now prohibited. So tzricha, therefore I need the pasuk to tell me that avoda of any sort does not invalidate. No sort of avoda invalidates the animal from a korban. But I have another source yet. You're not allowed to take any of these blemished korbanot from a non-Jew. Ela yaita makriv. These you're not allowed to bring. Avala tamakriv kodshim shnevda manavora. But you are allowed to bring kodshim that were used for that were used with work, which means what's now covered, prohibited work and permissible work. So what's left? The answer is nothing left. The answer is that there's nothing left such that the earlier reference must be used for the connection with para. The answer is no, there's still something left. I might have thought that the only time that the animal is not invalidated by dint of the work done with it is when the work was done when it was chulin. But if I was makdish the animal and then did the work, then I would have reason to think that it's aser. Tzricha. Therefore, I need my third pasuk. So I need three pasukim. Ba, Averet, and Uyad ben Nechar, each one of them to kind of push me to the point of saying, Kodshim are never invalidated by work, even if the work was work that was usser, and even if the work was done after I was makdish the animal. Okay, back to the bundle of sackcloth. Gufam Raviyudah Marav, Hiniach Alei Odash Shel Sakin. Psula, so even if you put a very light load on the back of the Parah Aduma, the minute there's a load on its back, it's pasul. Uve egla ach timshoch, but the egla rufa, it has to actually walk with it. Meitave, all, we have a challenge. In the context of Parah Aduma, it says, all, that it did not have any yoko on its back, in the ela all. Sharvadot minayin, how do I know that any sort of work that it does invalidates it, even without a yoke? Amarta kalachomer. It's simple. Ma egla she'in mum poselba, an egla. It can be blemished. Shavado poslotba. We know that any sort of work you do with it invalidates it. Para she'in mum poselba. The para aduma certainly has to be unblemished. And odin she'shavado poslinba. Certainly, any sort of work is going to invalidate it. Vim nafshach lamar. And if you were suddenly moved to say, we'll see what that phrase means. Nemar kan ol, v'nemar lahalan ol. The same word ol appears in both egla and para. Just like in the case of Egla, it means any sort of work invalidates it. Havkan Sharvodot Poslot, therefore in Parah Aduma also, all is just sort of a reference point to any sort of work. So now, Mayim Nafshach Lamar, why did the Brita have this phrase, Im Nafshach Lamar? Because V'chitem, you might have thought, Ikal Mifrach Mala Egla Shekein Shanim Poslot Ba. And Egla Rufa, there's an age issue. So Egla Rufa has a chumra built into it. So that's why any kind of work invalidates it, because it's also an issue of age. Inami kodshim yochicho. I have another challenge, which is I can prove from kodshim shemum posel mahen ve'en avora posel it bahen. There you got a case where mum or blemish is a problem and work is not a problem. So the answer is nemar kan ol v'nemar lahalan ol. We have the word ol in common between par and egla to tie them together away from kodshim and tell you that Avodah is posel. So, Sharvadot Minayin, how do I know that any sort of work is a problem? Tamalomar asher lo ala aleha o, mikol makom. What does it say in the context of Parah Aduma? That it had no manner of yoko on it, meaning any sort of work. So, imken matamalomar ol. So, why did the Torah call it an ol? Just say Avodah. So, the answer is ol posel be mishat Avodah be mishalo beshat Avodah. If you put a yoke on a Parah Aduma, even if it does not do any work, you just put it there to rest it there, it's immediately invalidated. However, sha'ar avodot, any other kind of work, ain't poslot ela b'shat avodah, it's only if they're actually working. But if the animal walks and it's got a plow connected to it, or if the animal walks and while it walks it does some makes a furrow inadvertently, that's not a problem. Ve'ima, so why don't I say the following? Let's construct the pasuk as follows. Asher lo ala aleha klal, that's a general statement, anything that went on it. All is a prat, a detail. Klal prat, what's the rule? Ein b'klal asher b'prat. We can only use what's in the detail. The detail is not an example, it's a definer. All in midiachri alo, and therefore any other kind of work will not be a problem. The answer is, asher lo ala aleha, the word asher is a ribu yehu, that expands it immediately. The same brita in the context of egla. All ainli ella all sharvadot minayin. How do I know that any kind of work invalidates an egla rufa? Tamalomar asher lo ubadba, that it was not worked at all. Mikol makom, any sort of work. Kematamalomar all. So why does it say shalomashcha ba'ol? All posel b'mishat avodah b'mishalosh b'mishat avodah. Same exact deal. If you put a yoke on the back of the egla, even if you're not working with it, it invalidates. Shavodot en poslot el b'shat avodah. Other work is only a problem if you're actually doing the work. Ve'ima asher lo ubad ba'klal ol prat kol prat em ba'klal el mashav prat. Same exact deal. Why don't I say it was not worked? That's a klal. that it didn't schlep an all, that's the prat, and it's defined by the prat, it's only an all. The answer is asher ribuyahu. Again, the word asher in there says any sort of work. Now that we said that the eglon, this is what the Torah says, is only invalid after it carries a yoke, not just has a yoke on its back, but carries a yoke, how far does it have to carry the yoke? What's the shear? Amalei kimlo ol. So Rabbi Yochanan said the distance of an ol, the length or width, we'll have to see, of a yoke. Ibayaluhula, or kol rochbo. Okay, is it length or width? Rabbi Yaakov Shmei, one of the teachers, Rabbi Yaakov said, "Ladim fish let me name it Rabbi Yochanan." I heard it from Yochanan himself. Mishichat ol rochbo tefach, that it's the width of it which is a tefach. Velema tefach. Why didn't Rabbi Yochanan just say a tefach? Why did he say the width of it a tefach? Mashlan shiur to ol tefach havi, to tell you that's how much a standard yoke is. It's one tefach wide. So my nafkamino, who cares? The answer is lemekach lememkar. For business, if you buy an oil and it turns out to be not that wide or wider, then somebody can return and try to change the deal or ask for more or ask for it back. Yochanan ben Shaul. Interesting drasham. Neima amrat Torah havi egla benachal. Why did the Torah say bring a heifer, a calf, into this ravine? Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yavo davar shelo asa perot, let this thing that never had fruit in the egla, v'yaref makom sheno se perot, and let its neck be broken in a place where nothing can grow. V'yichaper al mi shelo inichu laso perot, and let it be atonement for the one that was not allowed to ever reproduce. That's the idea, or produce. So my perot, what kind of production on the part of the victim are we bemoaning? Ilam peri verivya, you think it means children? So miata zaken masari sachanam lo arfinan. So that means that if the victim was, let's say, a eunuch, we wouldn't do it because he, in any case, couldn't have kids. But the Gemara could have asked the opposite. If it's somebody who already has kids, those kids are already alive, we wouldn't do it. Ela mitzvot, it means the perot of doing mitzvot. Here's somebody whose productivity was cut short, and therefore we take something that never produced and break its neck in an area where no production could ever take place. Okay, umarino ota el nachal etan. The Mishnah said that we take this egla into this nachal etan. Etan kemashma'o kasha. The Mishnah said it's exactly what etan sounds like. It's hard. Tanabaram nine etan shukasha. How do I know that etan means strong? Shenemar etan moshavecha v'sim basela kinecha. In Bilam's beautiful song, he says, your resting place is strong, and put your nest in a rock. So it's like a boulder. So etanim are now compared to mountains. So it's a strong thing. There's another proof. How do I know that an etan is old? Goy etanhu, goy meolamhu. This etan nation is an eternal nation. So it's old. Okay, v'orfino tava kofitz mi'acharea, the Mishnah said, you break its neck from the back with a cleaver. My taima gamar arif arifa mi'chatata of. The pasuk I added in onto the page, it indicates that the way that we kill a bird, the chatata of, is malika mimul or po, from the back of its neck. So the parallel is done here, that we break from the back of its neck here, because there it's egla arufa. You're not allowed to do any work in the land where the egla was felled. So the Braita says that the asher lo ye aved bo velo yizareya, which looks like the future tense, l'shavar de v'shir. V'shir says that means not that a place will not be worked, but rather that it's never been worked. Vinotan says, no, that's future tense. It means you're not allowed to work there afterwards. What happened there in the past, we don't care about. Rava mar lahaba kuli amad lo pligi. Rava says, everybody agrees that lo yaved is future. Dichtiv lo yizareya. Ki pligi l'shavar. The machloket is whether it also means the past. Shia savar mikti v'lo yi'ubad. It's not in the pure pu'al tense of the future, but rather asher lo ye aved, which indicates the possibility of a nifal, the past tense. Rabbiata mikti v'asher lo ne'avad. It's not really in the nifal, and it really is in the future. Rabbi Shia asher l'shavar mashma. Asher lo yubad means that which has not been. He says asher is simply to expand the meaning of the text to other sorts of work, but it's not saying that it has to be a place where in the past no work was done. Okay, the Mishnah said that you're allowed to do other sorts of work there, like cleaning out flax, etc. All I know from the text is I can't plant there. How do I know I can't do other work there? Any kind of work. So why does the Torah single out planting? Just like Zuriah is unique in that it's in the land itself. Of course, anything else that's in the land itself. The things we talked about are not in the land themselves. Why don't we do the same thing we just tried to do with the all? And that said, we have a klal prat. You can't do any work and you can't plant, so now it's only planting. The answer is asher ribuyahu. Again, the word asher comes to expand it and say any sort of work. So it's any work, but it's guided by the zriya. It's almost as if we have klal prat uklal, ke'ena prat, it has to be something in the ground itself. Okay, so now you're a chatzinya dehem. The next mishnah said that the elders of that closest city washed their hands over the egla, really over the spot where the animal was had his neck broken, and they say what they say. That's the pasuk. It doesn't have to say arufa. We already know that the calf had its neck broken. It's there to tell you have to wash your hands right over the spot on the animal where it had its neck broken. A quote from the Mishnah. You think that Beit Din are killers? That they have to say, we didn't kill this guy? That's what the Mishnah says. We didn't see this guy and leave him without food and ignore his need for escort. Tanya Rameir Omer, Kofin La Levia. Now we're going to have a relatively long excursus on the issue of escort. We force people to escort properly. Why? Sheshchar Levia in La Shiur. The value and the reward of escorting somebody on their way out of the house or out of town is something that is boundless. Shenemar v'yiru'a shomrim ish yotzei min ha'ir v'imrum lo harenu not mivu'a ha'ir v'asinum chacha said. Here's an example that the members of Beit Yosef in the first chapter of Shoftim are coming to scout out the city of Beit El. They can't find the way into Beit El because Beit El had some sort of a secret entrance. The Chizkuni in Parshat Vayetze points out that's why Yaakov couldn't get into the town. And incidentally, that may be why his dream came in the form of a ladder. In any case, they saw a man coming out of the city, and they said, show us the way into the city, and we'll do kindness with you. And so the next pasuk says he showed them the way in. So machesed asuimo. So what did they do for him? Because they wiped out the whole city. They sent this man and his whole family free. And then Vayelech Ha'ish Eretz Achitim, even Irei Kwash Maluz, Hushmad Ayom Azeh. The man went up to Eretz Achitim, maybe towards Turkey, and, or perhaps south, and he built a city, and he called that city Luz. That's the city till this very day. Alright, Tanya Haya, he Luz, Shitsovin Bat Chelet. That's the famous Luz where they make Chelet. He Luz, Shabbat Sancheriv Lo Bilbala. That's the famous Luz that Sancheriv, in his conquest at the end of the 8th century BCE, was not able to conquer and wasn't able to do population transfer. Nebuchadnezzar Velo Achiva, Nebuchadnezzar couldn't destroy it 150 years later. V'yaf Malach HaMavet Eimel Rishut Lavorba. Even the Malach HaMavet has no way to get in there. Elaz Kenim Shabab Izman Shidatan Katzalan, but the people grow so old when they finally decide they have lived enough, Yosin Lechutz Lechoma Vein Meitim. They simply step outside of the city and they die. So now we have a Kavachomer. Ma Knani Zeh. This guy who was a Knani. Shalom Dibber Fivalo Alach Baraglav. He didn't even say anything. He didn't even do anything. He didn't escort anybody. He brought salvation to himself and to his family forever. They lived forever in that town. The town was never hurt. And all he did was show these people the way into the city. Somebody who actually walks his guests out. How much more so will he have a boundless reward? Now, parenthetically, what did this guy show the people of Beit Yosef how to get into the city? He gave them a little signal with his mouth. He turned his mouth a certain way. He showed them with his finger how to get in. And that small little things. We have a support, and a bright to the support of Rabbi Yochanan's position. Because this Kanani pointed with his finger, in a variation on the earlier Braita, says this Kanani, all he did was point with his finger and he saved generations of his descendants. Somebody's walking on the way and they have no escort. Yasok b'Torah, let them study Torah. Shenemar ki liviat chen heim l'roshecha v'anakim v'gagrotecha. Wisdom, Torah, is a beautiful escort for your head and it is a choker around your neck. Because Avraham, Paro, when he was escorting Avraham out of the land, took four steps with him. Shenemar vayatzav alav Paro anashim vayishalchu oto. He escorted him out. Nishtabed b'manav 400 shana. That's how Paro was able to get 400 years of servitude out of Avram's children. Shenemar vaduminu otam 400 shana. Again, the reward of Leviya. Amrav Yudam Rav kolam alveh milaveh et chaviro arba amot ba'ir. If somebody escorts his fellow four steps in the city, eno nizok. He won't be hurt. Meaning, who won't be hurt? It also may mean that the fellow you escort won't be hurt. And that's the whole notion here about the Egla Rufa, that this guy who was escorted, who we assume was not escorted, and that's why he was hurt. So they're saying, well, we didn't see him. It could also mean that the escorter won't be hurt. Ravina alve l'Rav Yitzchak dalan amot pa'ir. Ravina escorted, Rav Yitzchak was evidently visiting him within the city, escorted him for amot. Matle de hezeka v'itzal. And suddenly he was attacked by something and was saved from it. Tad Rabbanan, harav l'talmid. How far does this master have to escort the Talmid? Ad ibura shel ir. Until the end of the city. Chaver l'chaver, how far does a colleague have to go? Ad chum Shabbat. He has to escort him out of the city all the way till chum Shabbat. Talmid l'rav, no. Talmid l'rav, but on the other hand, a student escorting his teacher, ein lo shir, has to go as far as he has to go. V'chama, so how far is that? Amrav Sheshet ad Parsa. He has to go at least a Parsa, which is 4 Roman miles. That's only if it's just a teacher of yours, of a Romuvhak, his special Rebbe, Shlosha Parsot. He has to escort him 3 Parsot out of the city to take care of him. Rav Kahana Alvel Rav Shim Bar Ashi Mipum Naharad Beit Sinita de Bavel. So we hear a story that Rav Kahana escorted Rav Shim Bar Ashi from Pum Nahara, which is one town, to Beit Sinita. It was very far. Kimatu Hatam, when they got there, Marle Vadai Diamritu. So now they shared some words of Torah. He said, I know what you say. You think that these trees of Bavel are there since Adam HaRishon's time? Amarle Adachrotan Milta. He said, remind me of a vart. This is totally parenthetic within the homily about escorting. Not the homily, really, the discussion, observations about the value of escort. That Yirmiyahu says, I'm going to send them to a land where nobody has ever gone and nobody has ever lived. So obviously, if nobody's ever been there, how can anybody live there? Ela Eretz Gazar Adam Rishon LeYishuv Nitjashvat. What it means is Adam HaRishon went around the world, said this place will be settled, this place won't. Any place that he decreed will be settled was settled. Eretz Shelo Gazar LeAdam Rishon Lo Nitjashvat. Any place he did not make the decree this will be settled never got settled. So when he said, and how ancient these trees are, he's reminded him of this idea that Adam HaRishon sort of has set out the map of settlement for the world. So another story about a great escort. Anybody who does not escort or take an escort, is like a murderer. Why? When Elisha, after Eliyahu departed, and then he came to the city of Yericho, and they had problems with the water, and Elisha cured the waters, and then Elisha was leaving Yericho to go back up the mountains to Gilgal, he went alone. Had the people of Yericho escorted him, he never would have turned around and provoked the bears to go attack the little kids who made fun of him. We'll read the story. Shinamar, Ve'alsham Misham Beit El, he was going on his way up to Beit El. V'hu Ole Baderech, he was on his way up. U'ne'arim K'tarim Yatzu'u Minayir, Vait Kalsu Bavimrulo, Ale Kerech, Ale Kerech. And little kids came out and said, go on up there, Baldy, go on up there, Baldy. They made fun of him. Amrulo, Ale Shikracht Alino Tamakom. What did they really mean? Go on up because you've messed the place up for us. Because what happened is, the waters in Yericho are impossible, so these people were able to bring in water from elsewhere and make some money. Now that he cured the waters, they were out of a job. They were mad at him. So my unearim tanim, why are they called unearim tanim? Velazo shemenu arim mina mitzvot, they are menuar, they are emptied out of mitzvot, ktanim shayum iktanei amana. They were not very trustworthy people. So these guys are really louts. They're not kids, they're louts. Tana nearim hayu. According to this Tana, they really were kids. Uviz vizu atzman kiktanim, but they behave like real little kids. Rav Yosef, Dilma Hashem Ekoman, maybe that's just the place where they're from. Milok Tiv, Aram Yatsuk Dudim, Ajpum Eretz Yisrael, Narak Tana. After all, in the story of Naaman, it starts out that the people of Aram captured a girl from Eretz Yisrael, and she's called a Narak Tana. Vekashna Narak Tana, and we were bothered, is she a Narak Tana? Parak Tana demean Ne'uran. She's really a Tana from the town of Ne'uran. So Na'ara is not her description of her, but her town. So maybe the Na'arim Ktanim were kids from Ne'uran. So Hatam Farish Mekoma, the answer is no, because in that case of the story of Na'aman, it doesn't say where she's from. So Na'ara could be a reference to her city. Hacham Farash Mekoma, in this case it says they're from Yericho. So Na'arim Ktanim is a reference to their behavior, their deportment, or their maturity. Now, Vayifan Achara Vayem Vaykalai Meshem Adonai, Elisha turned around when they made fun of him. This is on the web with the kids. He turned around, he saw them, and he cursed them in God's name. Mara'a, what is it he saw? Of Ra'am Mamash. He looked at them. Anytime you see the Chachamim giving that glare, either people die or there's poverty. So he looked at them, and that was it. He saw that every one of them had been conceived on Yom Kippur. They were born in terrible sin. Yitzchak Nafchamar Blurit Ra'alahem Kemorim. He saw that they had hairdos like the Amoraim, and they were really not worthy. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ra'ah Shelo Haytam Mahen Lichluchit Shel Mitzvah. He saw that these guys were absolutely empty of mitzvot. Because we're bothered by why Elisha curses these guys. But maybe they'll have kids who will be okay. Elisha was able to see that these kids and their future potential kids, all the way down the generations, would never amount to anything. And that's why it was a parallel midrash with the story with Moshe and the Mitzri. And that's why he was able to kill them. Now, what happened? So he cursed them, and two bears came out of the forest, and they killed 42 kids on the spot. So either it was a miracle or a miracle within the miracle. Manda Amar Nes, the one who said there was a miracle, meaning Yar Have, there was a forest there. Dubim Lo Have, there were no bears. The bears were the miracle. Manda Amar Nes Patoch Nes, Lo Yar Have, Lo Dubim Havu. The one who says a miracle within a miracle, there was no forest there, there were no bears there, and all of that was miraculous. Parenthetically, there is a town and a spot on the way from Yericho up to Beit El, called Der Dibwan, which is, according to tradition, the exact spot where the bears came out. You could see it from the bypass road on the way up to Shiloh. V'havu dubim v'lo aviyar. So why wasn't the miracle maybe that there were already bears but no forest? That be the bear? The answer is debeiti. All right, that the bears will always be afraid to go and provoke somebody if they don't have somewhere to hide. So the forest has to be there. Question is, either the forest and the bears are a miracle, or just the bears are a miracle. All right, Amram Chanina. If you look carefully, you'll see that Balak, in the story, built three mizbachot, and each one of them brought seven rams and seven bulls, which means a total of 42 korbanot. This sees the death of these 42 kids as being some sort of a terrible punishment that happened as a result, sort of like a payoff of the 42 korbanot that Balak brought. After all, the famous dictum that a person should always do things even if for the wrong reason, because ultimately they do it for the right reason. What's the model for that? Balak brought these 42 korbanot obviously for a wrong reason, to try to get God to curse on Israel. According to the tradition, Ruth is a descendant of Balak. Because Balak, being the king of Moab, is an ancestor of Eglon, who according to tradition is the father of Ruth. Look at this. He brought 42 korbanot in order to hurt Am Yisrael. And ultimately, what came out of that? Shlomo was a descendant of his who brought thousands of korbanot. Rut, Bito Shel Eglon, Bino Shel Balak Haita. According to that tradition, Rut was the daughter of Eglon, who was the child or descendant of Balak. So the answer is, Ta'avato Miha Leklal Ahave. Yes, but still, his desire was not just Shelo Lishma, it was to curse. So that's a bad thing. This is earlier on when I mentioned that that Elisha was asked by the people of Yericho to cure the waters. So if the water's bad and therefore the land is not producing, so what's so good about the area? People like their city; they feel civic pride. There's three kinds of grace or charm. Chein makom al yoshvav, people's feeling for their city. Chein ishal ba'ala, the way a husband feels about his wife. Chein mekach al mekcho, and the way a person feels when he purchased something. Tan Rabbanan, shlosha chala'in chala Elisha. Elisha got sick three times. Echad shigira dubim betinokot. One, because he provoked these bears to hurt these kids, that we sing as a bad thing. Chaj tchafo legei chazi b'shtei adayim. At the end of the Naaman episode, Gehazi went after Naaman to get some money out of him, and he did, and he came back, and then Elisha cursed him and said, the tzarat that I just cured from Naaman was now going to be on you forever, and he was, and that was a punishment, and Elisha was punished. That of Achad Shemaitpo, and then the final disease that killed him, Shinemar, Elisha Chala et Cholyo Asher Yamutpo. So three times, Chala Cholyo Yamut. Tan Rabbanan Leolam Te Smol Dochavi Min Mikarevet. This is part of the lesson of that. You should always use the left hand to push away an unfit student, but use the right hand to keep him close. In other words, don't push him away with two hands. Lo ke Elisha tchafolo Gehazi v'shteyadav. Not like Elisha who pushed Gehazi out with both hands. Lo ke Yeshua ben Prachyash tchafolo echad mitamidav v'shteyadav. According to some traditions, this is Yeshua ben Pantera, a different Jesus who was a student of Yeshua ben Prachya, 2nd century BCE, that he pushed him away with two hands. We'll hear the story. Elisha Mahi, what's the story with Elisha? Tichtiv, Ayomer Naaman, Hoel Kach Kikorai. Naaman turned around to Gehazi, who came after him, and said, here, take two talents of silver. Tichtiv, Ayomer Elav. And then when Gehazi comes back, and Naaman says, where you go? Where'd you go? And Gehazi says, I didn't go anywhere. No, he says, Lo libi alach kasher hafach ishmi omer kavtoli kvatach, haid lakach atakez vakach abigadim zaitim vachamim vesor bakar v'dim ushfachot. That Elisha says, what, you don't think I know where you went when this man got off his chariot and gave all this stuff to you? But Gehazi didn't take that stuff. He took money and clothes. That's it. Silver and clothes. The answer is, Elisha was studying the laws of the eight rodents. Amarlo Rasha. Now it's time for somebody who is here to take the reward of studying about the Shmona Shratzim. Sometimes he mentioned eight things that he took, as if to say, you could have gotten the schar for these eight things. Instead, you're going to have the Tzarat of Naaman. Now, to a later story in Malachim, which is only tangentially related to Elisha, says, there were four lepers, Mitzoraim, whatever those are, not lepers, who were outside of the camp, and that's how they saw that the Aramim had left their camp, and that's how it solved our famine. He says, who were these four? Gehazi and his three sons. This is in a later place. Elisha goes to Damasek. Lama halach? Yochanan shalach lach ziro lo Gehazi b'tshuva. He went to bring Gehazi and bring him back and try him to tshuva lo chazar. And Gehazi refused. Amar lo chazor b'cha. Come do tshuva. Amar lo kachum gumlanu imcha. You taught me, Elisha. Kol mi shechata v'chdi et rabim. Anybody who sinned and caused other to sin, ein maspikin miyado lasot tshuva. There is no way for him to do tshuva. So my avad, what is it so terrible that he did? Kan amri evan sho'evet talalo l'chatat yoravam v'midom ein shemayim la'aretz. That Gehazi took some sort of a magnet and had Yeravam's golden calf that was in Beit El and made it look like it was floating in the air. That he engraved Shem Hashem on its mouth. And magically got it to say Anochi and Lo Yelacha to get people to believe that it was real. Or perhaps he pushed the students out of his way. When the Bnei Nevi'im wanted to build, they said, the place where we are at is too small for us. Chaldan Hayina lo havidachik. Obviously, it didn't used to be so small. Said, now suddenly it's small. Why? Because the Gehazi must have pushed them out of the way. Now, Yishuram Prachim, what's the other story in Yishuram Prachia? Karhave kakotel Yanoi Malkal Rabbanon. When Yanai, Alexander Yanai, in the 2nd century BCE, killed all of the students, Shimon Shetach Atminu Achte Rabbi Shuran Prachia. Atminu Achte. Shimon Shetach's sister, who was Yanai's wife, hid him. Shimon Prachia Azal Arakla Alexandria Shemitzvayim. In the meantime, Shimon Prachia ran away to Alexandria. Shlomo, when things quieted down, Shalach Shimon Shetach, Mini Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, Lach Alexandria Shemitzvayim Achoti Baali, Shari B'tochech, Mani Yoshevet Shemima. So he sent a beautiful letter. Shimon Shetach said to Shimon Prachia, it's time to come home, essentially. So he understood from the letter, things are okay. So he was going to come home. Ki'ata iklalahu ushbiza. On the way back, they stopped at an inn. Kam kamayu biyakra shapir avdile yakra tuva. So the innkeeper's wife stood up and showed great honor. Yati v'kamishtabeach kamane achsan yazu. The innkeeper made a great kavod for Shimon Prachia, and he was saying, what a beautiful inn this is. Amar lechamitam v'dav, one of his students said to Shimon Prachia, Rabbi, eneha trutot, her eyes are round. Rasha v'chachata osek? What, this is what you're doing? You're looking at the woman here? Apik arba'me'ah shfurei, he took out 400 shofarot v'shamtei, and he threw this guy in cherem and distanced him immediately for his one comment. And every day the student came and said, Rebbe, I'm sorry, please forgive me. He didn't accept it. Yom achad avekari kriyat shema. One day, Rishon and Prachi was saying kriyat shema. Atal kameh. The same student came and said, Rebbe, please forgive me. Havedata le kabule. He actually thought maybe this time he's going to forgive him. Achvi le biadei. He gave him a signal. He was saying shema. He couldn't talk. He thought he was pushing him away again. Azil Zakaf Levinta Palcha. He went out, took a brick, turned it upside down, and worshipped it. Amar le Chazor Bacha. After he was done with Shema, he came and said, student, please do tshuva. Amar le Kachum Glen Recha, Kol Achot Imachte Torah, Me'in Maspik Me'ad Alasot Tshuva. You taught me yourself, Rabbi. Once you've caused others to sin, you're finished. Amar Kishef, what happened? Ve'hisit, ve'hidiach, ve'chtit Yisrael. This guy did witchcraft, and he caused others to sin, and to do Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Yetzer Tinok ve'isha, Tesmol Docha v'min Mekarevet. When it comes to Yetzer, the Yetzer Hara, but the Yetzer Hara specifically for relations, for sex, it's the kind of thing that you should push away with one hand, but keep close with another hand. In other words, something you want to recognize as something that could be problematic, but you also don't want to push it totally out of the way. The same thing with a kid in school. You want to discipline him, but keep him close. And the same thing if you're married to somebody Rashi says, Vishaf, he da'ata kalavim yulefuah tetzelach tabut ra'ah. So if you push her away too much, she's going to go out and do bad things. On the other hand, you have to keep a strong hand. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, we will pick up with the next Mishnah in the next podcast on Daf Mem Zayin, and two or three more podcasts, we will make a Siyum on Masechet Sota. Everyone should have a wonderful day.